and welcome to another episode of The Good Night Show. It is Tuesday, June 23rd, around 12 a.m. Rochelle, Illinois time. I am your host. My name is Daniel Van Kirk. I hope that you have had a good day, and I hope that because of this, you have a good night. I am currently on the road. I went home. I will talk probably about that story on Friday, tell you all the fun details. But I went home to do some family stuff, to get some things, and I am on my way back right now as I record this. I've stopped to put this recording together for you to, in hopes that, just like I said, you have a good night. But that also means that Noah's not here, just due to the technical limitations of what I have. We couldn't loop Noah in, which means you will probably see how important he is to this show. Anytime where I get a little off topic, or I wish I could talk to somebody, or I forget to take a break, you'll know that that is when Noah was there. And even if you don't realize it and you think it goes great, trust me, I need Noah Eberhardt to help me out with this show. It makes it great when he is here. Also, some other people make it great. I know I thanked them at the end, but Chad Bouchard, and who does the music, and CM Dugan, who does the artwork that you're looking at, and if you're looking on your phone right now and see the logo. Also, Ben Zeiper and Lissa Rubin. So here now is everything we have for today. See, this is where I need Noah. First off, become a part of this show. Just call me at 609-644-4855 or email thegoodnightpod@gmail.com. Send me your sex and relationship advice questions. Check those episodes out if you haven't. Let me know what you're going through. No judgment, I promise. Also, recommend things for me to read, watch, and be entertained by. We do that on Thursday. And then on Friday, we have a positive push Friday to go into the weekend. That is all of your positive stories. Those make me so happy when I hear from you, whether that's an email, a text, or a voicemail. I love the voicemails the most, especially for positive push Friday, where you just tell me about something that has made you happy. When I can hear that in your voice, like, this is something good that happened for me or good that I saw. But it is always best when it's you or someone in your world that in your life that something good has happened for, and you just want to echo that. It's when it's the best. So thank you to everybody who sends those things in, and to anybody right now who's thinking about it, I thank you in advance for doing it. Okay, so on Tuesdays, we cover the week in pop culture history. Let's start off by what happened yesterday, Monday, June 22nd. Stevie Wonder released his first single at the age of 13. At the start of his career, Wonder was known as Little Stevie Wonder and released his first single, Fingertips, in 1963 when he was just 13 years old, which went to number one on the Billboard Hot 100, making him the youngest solo artist ever to top the chart. I will sidestep here, man. This is when I wish Noah was here to tell me what he thought. Did you guys know that there are, like, Stevie Wonder truthers? There are people out there in this world that are like, Stevie Wonder is not blind, it's all a sham. And then they have these videos of like a microphone stand falling that he's like doing some duet with Paul McCartney. I'm sure I'm stupid. Is that Ebony and Ivory? No, that's, is it? I don't know. And Noah's not here to tell me. But he was doing a song with, I know that the Saturday Night Live sketch is Stevie Wonder and Sinatra, but anyway, I think it's Paul McCartney. You know the info to let me know if I'm wrong, or to just say, good job, Dan. But he's singing a song with Paul McCartney, I think, and a microphone stand falls and he catches it. So they're Stevie Wonder truthers that think that the whole thing is made up. Here's what I will say. Never underestimate the sixth sense of a person who has lost one of their sense, which would technically make it their fifth for them, but who cares? I believe that he is legally... If you told me, hey, here's the deal, Stevie Wonder can kind of see, like, shapes or, like, you know, like, shapes and light, but he is blind, he has no business, like... driving a car, I'd believe you, and I wouldn't have a problem with people still saying he was blind. Who cares? He said to nobody. Guess what? May 22nd is also Meryl Streep's birthday. Born in 1949 in Summit, New Jersey, the three-time Oscar-winning actress has a record. Guess how many Academy Award nominations? Guess right now. Say it. It's 21. Along with a record, how many Golden Globe nominations? Guess. 32. And she's won 8. A few of her best known films include The Deer Hunter, Kramer versus Kramer, Sophie's Choice, Out of Africa, The Bridges of Madison County. This is with The Bridge. What if it was just one? I'm almost certain it's The Bridges of Madison County. Adaptation, The Devil Wears Prada, and Florence Foster Jenkins. I love when they list some of these because I guarantee I didn't say one that you love, like A River Wild, which is a badass Meryl Streep movie. And her husband is that guy who's in all those other movies. Deer Hunter, though, so good. Never saw Kramer versus Kramer or Sophie's Choice or Out of Africa. Did see The Bridges of Madison County. Did see Adaptation. Haven't seen The Devil's Wears Prada Flo-Fo Jenkins. So kudos. Meryl Streep's just badass. Have you seen Doubt? He said to somebody who couldn't answer and Noah who wasn't there. Watch Doubt if you haven't seen Doubt. Oh, so good. Tuesday, June 23rd is the anniversary. I mean, this sounds bad, but it seems weird to commemorate it. Alice Cooper falls off the stage, breaking 6 ribs. There's never been any shortage of blood and guts in Alice Cooper's stage show, but on June 23rd, 1975, a real-life injury put him temporarily out of commission. Cooper took a tumble during the opening number of his stop in Vancouver of his tour. So he's in the first stop on his tour. Oh, that sucks. I mean, it sucks anytime, but all those dates you'd have to push. He was in Vancouver when he got tangled up with a prop and ended up flipping on his head and into the security barriers. That is metal. After being escorted backstage, he learned he'd broken 6 ribs and suffered a concussion, but returned for a few more songs. Anyway, what is this, the NFL? And later pledged to continue the tour unabated. Whoa, you are hardcore. You know what I love? There's 2 things I love about Alice Cooper. Wayne's World. Come on. And then they were doing one of those like talking head shows on like VH1 or MTV. It definitely feels like VH1. And they were talking about music, appropriate to have Alice Cooper there. And he was speaking about how much he raged against the Bee Gees and how much he hated them and hated disco. But in this thing, all these decades later, maybe it was 2 or 3 at the time, I don't know. But he said, you know what I hated most about Saturday Night Fever? This is what he said. The thing I hated most about it is that I didn't write it, because every song on that album was a hit. And I just thought that was so cool for somebody to finally be able to be like, you know what I was really, you know what the real problem was that I had with Bee Gees and disco is that I was jealous. And that happens really. I can tell you guys as a comic, I'm sure some of you are artists, or even if you're a teacher and you just see somebody create a new type of lesson plan. Where sometimes something is so good, it makes you mad at the person that you're like, oh, that's been thought of and done. You know, I'll tell you this though. If you're in a profession where you can steal from the best, Quentin Tarantino, do it. Just give credit. It's like, oh yeah, I learned that from them. Here's the other thing. On June 23rd, Barry Bonds becomes the first and only member of the 500-500 club. Against the division rival Los Angeles Dodgers in 2003, Bonds stole his 500th base, making him the only member of the 500 home run club and 500 stolen base club. As it stands, Bonds is still the only member and may very well be the only member ever. I believe that. The dude would be in the Hall of Fame if he hadn't even done steroids for y'all. I wish I could get more people to like baseball, because I really think that baseball is the most non-sports loving sport. Like, if you don't like sports, you could be like, I just like that it has a nice pace to it. It's you can follow along with what's happening. It's not violent. I mean, it does have collisions every once in a while, like any sort of athletic endeavor, but like it's one person being like, can you hit this? And the other person saying like, watch me try and hit this. And then other people being like, can I field the thing you hit and get you out in time? I know I'm in a deep baseball convo, Noah, but if you've ever been like, maybe I'll give sports, I would recommend baseball. The newest version, if it comes back, because a lot of racism in baseball back in the day, but things evolve, hopefully for the better. Wednesday, June 24th, I guess we're just, Ricky Henderson stole the first of a record 1,400 stolen bases. I only say that to say this. Listen to the ESPN 30 for 30 podcast about Ricky Henderson. It's the podcast. It's so good. Also on June 24th, mob boss John Gotti begins a life sentence in jail. Gotti was an American gangster who became the boss of the Gambino crime family in New York City. At his peak, Gotti was one of the most powerful and dangerous crime bosses in the United States, maybe even the world. In 1991, Gotti's underboss, Salvatore Sammy the Bull Gravano, agreed to turn state's evidence and testify against Gotti after hearing his boss make several disparaging remarks about Gravano on a wiretap that implicated them both in several murders. In 1992, Gotti was convicted of 5 murders, conspiracy to commit murder, racketeering, obstruction of justice, tax evasion, illegal gambling, extortion, and loan sharking. He was sentenced to life in prison without parole. They got him. Sammy the Bull, I think he wrote a really good book, but then there's always that thing of like, do I want to help someone profit off being a fucking monster? Thursday, June 25th, the first color TV broadcast in America in 1951. You know about that a little bit if you listen to me talk about the Wonder Years over on the Weekend Edition. You wonderful Patreon members. I love TV. Do I need to say more than that? But yeah, color TV, 1951. Prince released his album Purple Rain on June 25th. I don't have the year here, but Prince found international success with the album, whose songs When Doves Cry and Let's Go Crazy went on to become chart toppers. The album was ranked 76th in Rolling Stone magazine's list of 500 greatest albums of all time. Let's play Guess the Year. What year do you think Purple Rain came out? I'm going to guess, man, it's tough when you're like barely a person that in the 80s. I'm going to guess 1987. I have no idea right now. Here's something I want to say. On June 25th was also the last episode of Late Night with David Letterman. It aired on NBC. So it wasn't his longest one ever. Actor Tom Hanks and singer Bruce Springsteen appeared on the last episode of the talk show in 1993, which was created and hosted by David Letterman. The show was reformatted and hopped networks to become The Late Show on CBS. I loved watching Letterman in any form. Friday, June 26th, LeBron James is drafted by the Cleveland Cavaliers. The number one draft pick of 2003, ranking James as the greatest basketball player of all time, has been fervently debated. We gonna get into this right now. I will say this: no one has lived up to expectations more in the sports field than LeBron James, and you cannot argue with that. Well, I suppose you could, but I won't hear it. Also, on June 26th. It's the anniversary of Elvis's last performance. Battling health problems, Presley looked pale and weak during his final concert, which was held at Market Square Arena in Indianapolis in 1977. He died on August 16th at Graceland in Memphis, Tennessee. I will tell you this before we take a quick break. One of my favorite Elvis songs, I think it's from the 66 concert. I don't know. It's like Big Red Letters and he's wearing like the black outfit, is If I Can Dream. If you've never heard that song, listen to the live version. Remember, it's like the big red letters. That's what the artwork should look like. I think he's in like the black like jumpsuit. It's just really, really, really good. If I Can Dream, I recommend that as we go to break. When we come back, we will dig into one of these topics. Maybe we will run down actors who have won multiple Oscars, ranked by who won the most. I think I'm going to do that. Because of our great Meryl Streep. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Pier View Suites is a beachside boutique hotel on the Central Coast in Cayucos, California. It's located halfway between San Francisco and Los Angeles along Highway 1, just below Big Sur and the famous Hearst Castle. Their all-suite hotel combines the comforts of private residences and with the amenities and services of a small resort, including ocean views, fine furnishings, private balconies, fully equipped kitchens, and daily housekeeping. Special pricing is available for any stay of 3+, 7+, or 30+ nights when you call to book direct. As part of their continued commitment commitment to provide an outstanding guest experience, Pureview Suites is excited to announce the first phase of their hotel's largest refresh to date. Deeply rooted in Central Coast tradition, their unpretentious yet modern new look will enhance the tone of their beachside community with laid-back surf vibes. All suites will offer guests a space that is intimate yet luxurious, local but inviting, evocative of the rich history of Cayucos but in keeping with contemporary California lifestyle. They also feature an entirely virtual front desk with automated check-in, self-checkout, and mobile keys delivered to your smartphone for easy access upon your arrival. To explore the hotel and reserve your stay, please visit pureviewsuites.com and follow Pureview Suites on Instagram and Facebook for exclusive deals. Are you looking for a way to let everyone know that you're serious about social distancing, staying safe, and being smart, but you want to look good at the same time? Check out Real Day Design. They have a variety of shirt styles that look and feel great while also sending the message that you care about your health and you care about the people around you. Choose from a short sleeve or long sleeve tee, crew neck sweatshirt, or even a football jersey style t-shirt. Any option is perfect for looking good and feeling comfortable in your own home or on a walk. But letting people know you are part of the social distancing club doesn't just have to be worn. You can show everyone in your Zoom meeting where your priorities lie with a social distancing club coffee mug. So quarantine but make it fashion by visiting Real Day Design online at bonfire.com/store/real-day-design-co. Again, that's Real Day Design online. Just go to bonfire.com and search for Real Day Design. Okay. We are back, and we are going to run down, it says here the 43. Man, that seems like a lot, though, doesn't it? The 43 best actors who have won multiple Academy Awards. So, why not talk about some actors and some great movies? If I know who they are, I will try to talk about what my favorite movie from them is. If they're known for a movie I don't know, or if I haven't seen the movie, we'll talk about that too. Okay. I don't think I can go through all 43 here. So I'm just going to pick one. This is from Business Insider. So if you want to dig in on this, do. Okay, here we go. Also, like, I feel like I don't have to list them all anyway, so maybe I won't. But, all right. Let's start with, man, okay, here we go. Let's start with, maybe I will go through, I'm not going to go through 43, but I'm going to start at the top. Renee Zellweger, 2 wins, 4 nominations. I just thought about this yesterday. When I saw the trailer for Judy, which she won for in 2019, I tweeted out, I said, she's going to win the Oscar just based on this trailer alone. And then she won it. I'm not trying to say I'm a cool, but watch her in Judy. And you could also see her in Cold Mountain. She won for Best Supporting Actress in 2003. I have not seen Cold Mountain, but Renee's great. You know who else is great? Mahershala Ali. 2 nominations, 2 wins. God, that must feel good. He won for Green Book, which I have not seen, but I've heard mixed. But he won for Moonlight 2 years before that in 2016. And that movie, it's in my Netflix of like list. I've already seen it. I'm having a hard time bringing myself to watch it again because it's devastating, but it's also beautiful. Christopher Waltz, 2 wins, 2 nominations. Here's the PA. Both thanks to Quentin Tarantino. Django Unchained in 2012, Inglourious Basterds in 2009. Something I always think about Inglourious Basterds, the opening scene to Inglourious Basterds, if it had just been that, so just a short film, I feel like it would have won the Oscar for Best Short Film of the Year. And he, when he's eating the strudel and the sounds with the fork in his mouth, which is, you know, that's direction from Tarantino combined with his performance. He's perfect. I would say, there are a few times I would say that. And maybe if I think of any others or some come up here, I'll say it too. But Inglourious Basterds, Christoph Waltz performance, perfect. What is his name? Jarrell Jerome. When They See Us. Performance. Perfect. If you haven't seen that on Netflix, especially if you're a person of privilege like me, white privilege, watch it. You owe it. You owe it to the people that you co-inhabit this planet with and this country and your state and your town, you owe it to them to watch when they see us. Whew, I got serious there, didn't I? Hillary Swank, 2 wins, 2 nominations. Boys Don't Cry, haven't seen it. Came out in 99. Then Million Dollar Baby, have seen it. She's so good. Oh, okay. Louise Rainer, 2 wins, 2 nominations. The Great Ziegfeld and The Good Earth. Read The Good Earth. Haven't seen either one of those movies. Vivien Leigh, 2 for 2. Gone with the Wind. Haven't seen it. Streetcar Named Desire. Haven't seen it. I know I need to put those on the list. Helen Hayes, 2 wins, 2 nominations. The Sin of Madeleine Claudette. Nope. And you know what else? She won for Airport in 1970. Heck yeah. I didn't know that. Diane West, 2 wins, 3 nominations. She got nominated for Bullets Over Broadway and Hannah and Her Sisters. 2 movies I have never seen. All right, let's jump ahead here a little bit. Frances McDormand, she won twice. She was nominated 5 times, 3 billboards outside of Ebbing, Missouri. Love it. Fargo, love it even more. Obviously, Tom Hanks, 6 nominations for Tom Hanks and 2 wins. And back to back, do you remember what they were? It's Philadelphia in 93, then Forrest Gump in 94. You also have Gene Hackman, 5 nominations for Gene Hackman. I did not know that. 2 wins for The French Connection in 71. And then all the way later, like 21 years later, for Unforgiven. God damn, these are great movies. Let's jump ahead here a little bit. You obviously have like Dustin Hoffman and Michael Caine. You have Jessica Lange. But then, oh, even Jane Fonda. I don't feel, I'm crazy. Maybe I just missed it, but I don't like Jane Fonda. I don't think of a lot as an Oscar nominated actress. No disrespect to her at all. I'm the one who's at fault. But you have De Niro, 2 wins, 7 nominations. Best Actor, Raging Bull. Best Supporting Actor, The Godfather Part 2. Then you have 7 nominations for Cate Blanchett, crushing it. 2 wins. She won for Blue Jasmine. Haven't seen it. And The Aviator, which I did see. That was Best Actress, and then the latter was Supporting Actress. And then I think we get into, this is the top 11, and we'll get out of here. 8 nominations, 2 wins. I'm going to give you the first one they won for Best Supporting Actress, see if you know who it is. Glory, you should know. And then in 2001, they won Best Actor for Training Day, and that is Denzel Washington. The man is a legend. You know who else is? 8 nominations, 2 wins. Jack Lemmon. Save the Tiger for Best Actor, never seen it. And Mr. Roberts, Best Supporting Actor, never seen that either. Now, Grumpier Old Men, I've seen a lot. 8 nominations and 2 wins for Marlon Brando. He won for On the Waterfront, never seen it. And The Godfather. I feel like I'm saying these movies I haven't seen, and some of you are probably very upset with me. I don't think I've ever seen a Spencer Tracy movie. 9 nominations and 2 wins for him for Best Actor. He won Captain's Courageous, 1937, and Boys Town, 1938. Then you have Bette Davis, 10 nominations for Bette Davis, 2 wins. Never seen Jezebel, never seen Dangerous, but I guess she crushed it. Walter Brennan, 3 wins, 4 nominations. See, now we're starting to get up here. You have Ingrid Bergman, 7 nominations, 3 wins. I never saw the 1974 Murder on the Orient Express, but she won a Best Supporting Actor for it. All right, 12 nominations, 3 wins. And a great Joker. I bet a lot of people would put him as the 3rd best Joker after Mark Hamill and Heath Ledger. But he won Best Actor for One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest in 1975, and As Good as It Gets in 1997, and then a Best Supporting Actor in 1983 for Terms of Endearment, which I've never seen. All right, 21 noms. We already talked about her. 3 wins. She's the queen of the Oscars. She won for Best Actress for Sophie's Choice and The Iron Lady. She won for Best Supporting Actress for Kramer versus Kramer. Her name is Meryl Streep. Then 3 wins, 6 nominations, 50-50 shot for Mr. Daniel Day-Lewis. He won for Best Actor for My Left Foot and There Will Be Blood, as well as Lincoln. I think he was nominated for Best Supporting Actor. I mean, I'm sure he was, for Gangs of New York. There's a scene in that movie where he taps a knife tip, like the tip of a knife blade, on his eye. Reportedly, he stayed up all night the night before that scene getting his eye to not flinch when he touched it with a knife blade. Some people would say just get contacts. You'll get used to that real quick. And then 4 wins, 12 nominations for number one, Katharine Hepburn. She won for Best Actress for Morning Glory in 33. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner in 67. Then The Lion in the Winter in 68. And On Golden Pond in 1981. And I haven't seen any of those movies. Am I crazy? Let me know which one of those movies you think I should, like, of any of them, like, Dan, you have to watch blank. Also understand that I've never seen Close Encounters of the Third Kind either. Bye. Tonight's episode of The Good Night Show was produced by Noah Eberhardt. It was engineered and mixed by Brendan Lynch Solomon with production assistance from Ben Zeiper and Lissa Rubin. The theme music was composed by Chad Bouchard and the artwork was created by CM Dugan. You can check out more of his work at cmdugan.com. If you enjoyed tonight's show, you can get more content at patreon.com/thegoodnightshow. There you can sign up for the Good Night Show Weekend Edition, as well as exclusive weekly episodes of some of our favorite topics. Plus, you can get a supercut of this entire week's worth of shows, as well as access to the entire back catalog of the Hindsight podcast. 3 Patreon tiers are available, and the most comprehensive option is less than $10 a month. The Good Night Show is not part of any network, so all proceeds go directly to the costs and people that keep the show on the air. Your support matters and is greatly appreciated. One way to support is to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. It helps us, it matters, and it's not that hard to do. You could also just tell everyone you know about this little show. Thank you again for listening. I'm Daniel Van Kirk, and remember, no man is a failure who has friends. Good night.